I was unaware that I was living in a small Hispanic community in southwestern Arkansas until the news one night said, Dequeen, Arkansas, a small Hispanic community in southwestern Arkansas. And I thought, huh, that does explain a lot. We had just an interesting group of people in my school. We were very diverse. We had a lot of people who couldn't speak English. We had some who were learning. We had some who... And what's crazy, though, is there was also a group that was better at it than the rest of us. That we had learned English from the hillbillies we lived near. And it was obvious, I mean, obviously they were going, like, the people who had come, who had moved from Mexico to our town were going to have trouble when they practiced with a book or a tape and learned to say, get out of here. And we said, gah! They knew that obviously they were going to have some trouble. And it took just a little bit of adjustment for them and for us. But what was interesting is I was just used to it. That's where I grew up. I knew people who could only speak Spanish. I knew people who could speak Spanish but speak English a little bit. And I knew people who could speak English better than I could, although I didn't know it at the time. That's just what I knew. But often you would hear people bemoaning this fact. I thought it was a plus. I always thought it was a plus. It just seemed more interesting, more fascinating to watch this world than some monochrome world that I guess other people were expecting. But every once in a while, you'd hear someone say, I can't believe I have to press 1 for English. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Call the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Earl has to push 1. My goodness. But that is just what they were bemoaning was that in the world around them, there were people who were not like them. I remember when I was a kid at a singing. Y'all remember singings? Oh, just as a kid, you thought, all right, they said something. We're going to go do something at the church, and then there's going to be an ice cream supper afterward. You're not sure. It was something. But then you sang for what felt like an eternity, and we are not in our eternal bodies yet. You sang and you sang and you sang, and different guys would get up and be like, I'm from Dirks, Arkansas, and this is a song I want to pick out, and they would, and it was just a spectacle of song leaders coming through. And they would get me up there. And I always sang the song my brother would do to Canaan's Land. I'm on my way. Where there's sun and shining and stuff. And then I loved Jesus is Coming Soon. Which, as I've examined in later years, is way too happy of a song about the world's condemnation. We, as a good Church of Christ, left out the part where the trumpets blast. We go, many will do. We just kind of went through it. But we had the singing. And I remember the lady in front of me saying, like looking at her husband during the singing, and I'm just exhausted. She said, this is what heaven's going to be like. And I thought, oh, no. And it's not what heaven's going to be like. And I think it's not going to be what heaven's going to be like, because although I grew up in a small Hispanic community in southwestern Arkansas, I did not grow up in a Hispanic church. I grew up in a very white one. Very white. And it was just the picture. Now, we actually eventually hired a Hispanic minister to come in, and we were like, oh, great. We're going to try to reach out to more Spanish-speaking people, and we'll put them in the room down the hall. Like, it was still, like, separate and apart, you know, like the offering. And it wasn't, it was, and in my mind, here's what I'm wrestling with. It's not the singing. It's the boredom of uniformity. Went with Rachel to New York City for the first time. I think it was in 07, 08, around there. I think it was a different time than that. When was it? Just, you don't know? Okay. I knew I was telling this story. Probably could have done like 3 seconds of research and found the year. But we went to New York City. We were walking around, and you heard just 100 different languages in one day. And I remember thinking, this may not be what heaven smells like. But I bet it's what it's going to sound like. And I keep coming back to this scene in Revelation where the sixth seal is opened, and all those people that were crying out, God, where are you? God shows up. And when God shows up, there's not a big battle. The mountains roll, and everything, when God shows up, you know it. And John hears about the people in heaven. Hears about the people worshiping the throne. And it says in Revelation 7, then I heard the number of those, this is verse 4, the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Now, I remember this verse because I grew up hearing this from the people that would come to my door and argue with my dad. You don't remember? Okay, so we had groups of people in our town that would go door to door knocking, trying to convert people. And one of the biggest things they talked about was that there was only going to be 144,000 people in heaven. And I always thought, like, it's really weird to me that there's a cap and you're converting people. Like, I feel like if there's a cap, you might want to keep it all to yourself, because what if someone really good gets in and you're the first one booted? I just mathematically, to me, it didn't make sense. But that's what John hears. It said, I heard the number, and it was 144,000. And it's 12,000 from every tribe. And he said, what we heard was that it was going to be a bunch of people like me, John says. People from my nation, people from my tribe. What I heard was a very specific, countable group. But then I turned and saw. Verse 9 says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. they continued to sing his praise, but we're going to stop here because I just think that when we need to glimpse the heaven John glimpses. We need to glimpse the kingdom that John sees, and we need to finally, instead of just hearing about, well, this is going to be a lot like us, we need to turn and see that I don't understand the languages in heaven, not all of them. And if they're going to go in order, English ain't going to be one. This multifaceted group that is all worshiping God in different languages and different tribes and different people, and there's so many of them, no one can count this group. And their praise is not salvation belongs to a people. Salvation belongs to a type. Salvation belongs to a church. Salvation belongs to our God. See, that's the only way. Salvation belonging to our God is the only way we're going to get there, and it's going to be a bunch of difference. Because sometimes when we hold salvation in our hands, it's a bunch of similars. And the praise of salvation belongs to our God. That means that people that don't look like me will find salvation. People who don't sound like me will find salvation. People who don't act like me. What's crazy, though, is we want diversity, but we're not even willing to start with a diversity of thought. I want people that don't look like me. I want people that don't sound like me. I want to praise God with them. But you have to acknowledge that when people don't look like me, and when people don't sound like me, and when they're from different places as I'm from, that what comes built in with that is a new way, a different way of looking at the world and looking at Scripture. And so what you're welcoming, when you're welcoming diversity, is not just a diversity of skin, not just a diversity of language, not just a diversity of past, but a diversity of perspective. And so when they're we're all going to learn something about God when we get to God. Praise God. And what we see in this, when John finally pulls, whenever it pulls back and he goes, you know, I heard about the 144,000, but what I saw were all these different types praising God. And what I love is that he says, they're from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. And the question then arises, how'd he know? That we're not homogenized before the throne of God? That he could look with his eyes and see diversity in the throne room, in the crowds? And I doubt it's going to be like the Texas OU game where it's just like one group and the other. Which is always funny to me. They're just like, look at it. You can tell the different teams. And I'm like, well, they're very similar colors from the sky. I have a hard time telling. It's not going to be, well, this is the section for this and this. Just all praising God, different places. And he could look. And he could tell that what's being celebrated in the throne room of God is not some homogenized version of Christianity, but what's being celebrated is the different perspectives, the different languages, the different skin colors, the different backgrounds, the different stories, the different continents. What they are celebrating is the unity that's found when we celebrate diversity. It has to begin with acknowledging that they're all from different backgrounds, and they probably think about things in different ways. But what they find out in the throne room of God is that salvation belongs to a God who has given himself to us. I mean, that pronoun's doing a lot of work there. Salvation belongs to our God. To a God has given himself to us and given himself to everybody. It was coming up on 20 years now that I realized I didn't have it all right. Like, all correct. Harding didn't beat that out of me, surprisingly. But it should have. I had teachers who were working on it. But it was such a wonderful freedom. It was like the Exodus when I realized two things. I don't have it all correct. And I don't have to. And that I'm going to learn in the kingdom of God, I'm going to learn from this person who has a different perspective, and that person who has a different background, and this person who has a different language, and this person whose skin isn't whatever my skin is. I'm going to get to interact with diversity. And now we can bemoan, well, we're not that diverse. Yes, we can. Go for it. Reach out to your neighbors. But a lot of times, I'm just going to be honest with you, a lot of times when white people want different types of non-white people in their building, they're just wanting them to come here. Right? They're rarely going, like, we'll go out and go to you. And we can pray for a diverse church, but we're not going to go, like, to other churches and go, come join us. Or we're definitely probably not willing to go get up and abandon this building and go to them. And that's just the way the world is at times. Broken. But in the kingdom of God, all is set right. And we will rejoice with the nations. We will rejoice with diversity. You know, you can be certain of this. You know that when we all get to heaven, it's not just singers coming home. But when we all get to heaven, we will find so many people not like us. Because salvation does not belong to me. It belongs to our God. And we will find out. It's because of that multifaceted group praising God. We will find out when we get there that the kingdom of God, once you finally see it, is better than what you heard. Let's pray. God, we long for a day when you are demonstrating how big your salvation is in our presence. God, we know we're not there. And frankly, God, we don't always know the steps to get there, but what we do know is that salvation belongs to you and that we can trust you to lead us to places where our language isn't the predominant one, to celebrate perspectives that are different than our perspective, to gather around your throne and not be the main language, but be one of the many. That when we are in your throne room, we will not be the main skin, but one of the many, the main nation, but one of the many. That we as a people are just a small part of your people. God, this week, help your kingdom and the diversity within it humble us. Let us stop trying to wrestle away salvation from your possession and rejoice with the nations and the tribes and the people and the languages that salvation truly does belong to you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.